This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Over the past few years, the definition of work has changed in parts of the American economy. More and more restaurants and retailers have half as many full-time workers as they used to, and twice as many part-time. They save money on pay and benefits, and they use new technology to schedule part-timers based on the season, the time of day, or even on the temperature. But while some people prefer part-time work, many struggle with less money, fewer benefits, and unpredictable hours, which can make juggling kids, classes, or other jobs difficult. If you work part-time, tell us, what don't we understand about your situation? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, members of the editorial boards of two major newspapers, one endorsed a candidate for president, one didn't. We'll find out why and why not. But first, part-time America. As we often do on work issues, we turn to Stephen Greenhouse of the New York Times, who joins us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you back on the program.
Nice to be back, Neil.
And you just wrote a piece that starts with a story about Shannon Harden, a 50-year-old woman who works for a grocery chain I confess I'd never heard of called Fresh and Easy. Tell us about her.
Shannon is 50. She used to work for a construction company. When things went, she was an office assistant for a construction company. When things got bad, she got laid off, and she was looking for a job. So she found a job with this new fangled grocery company in California. It started up 5 years ago. It tries to be very cool. It has solar power for its headquarters. It has doesn't have all these additives in its food. Anyway, but Shannon wants a full-time job, but she only gets part-time hours. Many weeks she's only given 25 hours, 27 hours. Once in a while, when someone's on vacation or sick, they'll give her 32 hours a week. And she says that after nearly 5 years on the job, she makes $10.90 an hour. She often works 20, 25, 27 hours a week. And she just says that's not enough to support herself. And she asks for more hours, as was the case with retail workers at some other places. And they told me that, instead of the store owners, the store managers giving them more hours, they often just hire more people. So they keep everyone at 15, 20, 25 hours instead of giving, all these workers who want to work 30, 35, 40 hours so they could support themselves and their families enough hours to work on. And Shannon Harden, this worker just outside San Diego, California, told me that, she earns so little. She only goes to the movies about once a year. She says she can't afford cable, so she doesn't even own a TV. She told me that she has a tooth that's falling apart, and she can't afford dental work because she just can't afford the more than $1,000 for a crown. And, I focused on her, Neil, in my story because I really wanted to find someone who has involuntarily been forced to work part-time, and as a result of that, feels really economically squeezed, even though she's perfectly talented and perfectly willing to work 35, 40-hour a week.
And because of these unpredictable hours, if you're not available when the boss calls, you're not going to get as much work next week.
There's this big trend going on in the economy that many Americans don't recognize, that many employers try harder than ever to adjust the number of workers at any given hour to the number of people at a McDonald's or a Taco Bell at noon or 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. They, more people come in around 11:30 noon, they ramp up the number of employees. Then around 1:32, they ramp down the number of employees, and they want to have a lot of part-timers on hand, like to fill this hole, to fill that hole, to fill this hole. So there's this elaborate, impressive new software for scheduling employees that really makes it easy to track your sales, track your number of customers, and tie that to the number of employees. So in many ways, Neil, it's great, for these companies to have all these part-time workers. You plug them into that hole, you plug them into that hole, you have lots of flexibility. If you have a busy Friday evening shift, you're a retailer, you just plug someone into that hole. But for these workers, it makes their lives very difficult at times. One, they often don't have enough hours. Two, their hours are often jumping around, changing week to week. And three, there's now this weird system called call-ins where, some workers I interviewed said they'd be assigned just 2 or 3 days of work a week. And you have to work those shifts. And then they'd be given 2 or 3 call-in days, meaning you wake up, roll out of bed at 8, 8:30, you call your boss to say, do you need me today to come in? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they say yes. And if they say, yes, we need you, you better not have scheduled anything that day. You better come in. And if they say they need you, and sometimes they don't need you, so you get nothing, no pay that day. And a lot of workers I interview complain that this call-in system makes their lives difficult. It makes it hard for them to get a second job. It makes it hard to just arrange to see friends or make a doctor's appointment because they don't know whether they're going to have to work on specific days.
We're talking with Stephen Greenhouse of the New York Times about part-time America and the increased numbers of people working part-time, how that affects their lives. Of course, we do understand some people prefer to work part-time. 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. What don't we understand? If you're one of those part-timers, we'll start with Lawson. And Lawson on the line with us from Paducah, Kentucky.
Hi, Neil. First-time caller, long-time listener. Thank you very much for your show.
Thanks for both. Go ahead, please.
I'm an hourly employee working for a very big restaurant chain. I'm lucky to get 30, 35 hours a week, but I'm still hourly. And my problem is that I feel so trapped in this hourly cycle. I've been trying to get to school, finally got an associate's, but being able to afford to get back and get the bachelor's is it's the trap. It has a gravity to it that seems to keep you there, suck you in.
And are you in one of these flexible scheduling situations where even if you did start to go to class, you might find yourself forced to choose between work and school?
That's exactly what I had to do because I don't know what the next week's schedule is going to bring until Friday. I have no way of knowing when I can schedule for classes.
And you've got to pay the rent.
Oh, exactly. And the gas to get to college since I live about 45 minutes away. So it'd be a double pay cut if I had to take time off of work and pay to the gas to get to school.
And would you mind telling us how much you make per hour?
I work two different job codes, so sometimes I get 10, sometimes I get 12.
And do you get benefits with that?
Luckily, yes. That's the one good thing about the company I work for is that they do give benefits to all hourly employees.
And do they have full-time employees at that restaurant?
Full-time would a salary would be what I would call it, but no, they try to keep people away from 40 hours as often as possible.
It does sometimes seem, I've worked for places in the past who seemed that their entire goal of their human resources department was to have no one eligible for health insurance.
Yes, but luckily not me. Like I said, they are good on benefits, but bad on giving you hours.
Well, Lawson, we thank you for the phone call and your loyal listening over the years. Good luck.
Oh, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. And Stephen Greenhouse, so that's a situation that I think describes a lot of people in your story.
Yes. Lawson, it's great you have an employer who provides you with good benefits. That's unusual for a service sector employer that has a lot of part-timers. But I'm surprised that your employer doesn't accommodate people when they want to go to school. I know a lot of employers, if you could tell them 2 weeks or 3 weeks in advance, look, I have classes Tuesdays and Thursday mornings from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., they can usually accommodate you. And the fact that they don't accommodate you on that is a problem. I should say, there are, just to be clear, there are like 25 million part-time workers in the U.S. economy, nearly one out of, more than one out of six workers. About one-third of those part-time workers wish that they could work full-time. And the number of the so-called involuntary part-timers has doubled since 2006. So there are like 4 million more workers now than there were in 2006 who have been forced to work part-time, even though they would want to work full-time. And I think the trend is a lot of employers, as Lawson said, prefer to have lots of part-timers because you can pay them less. You generally provide them less benefits. A statistic I use in my story, Neil, is that in service sector industries, the typical full-time worker gets $17.18 an hour, including the value of benefits, whereas the typical part-time worker gets $10.92 an hour. So the full-time worker gets 57% more an hour. I think that's a big reason, more and more employers are saying, hey, let's hire part-time workers. It gives us more flexibility, and it saves us a bundle on wages and benefits.
Let's get Mark on the line calling from San Francisco. Mark, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I'm a former McDonald's and Pizza Hut franchise owner. So I had two McDonald's franchises, two Pizza Hut franchises, and at one time up to 10 other independent mom-and-pops. And I employed the exact opposite strategy. I employed mostly all full-time employees. I only was only able to offer benefits to management. But I filled in my gaps and my staffing needs with part-timers, but I went with an all full-time employee workforce. I had virtually zero turnover in the 7.5 years I owned one of my franchises, where typically at McDonald's an annual turnover could be 300-350%. My turnover was probably less than 5% realistically. I had people for years. I saved on advertising costs. I didn't have to go through interviewing, hiring, you know, onboarding, exiting. And I find that works a lot better. Give a smaller group of people full-time employment works better economically for the franchise than trying to balance a whole handful of part-timers who wouldn't last anyway.
Stephen Greenhouse, he's right. There are costs associated with all that turnover and with training and other ancillary costs to those part-time employees.
Absolutely. And Mark has one vision that some employers embrace, hire part-timers, treat them well, give them good benefits. They'll be loyal to you. They'll work hard for you. And that's, some people call that the high road strategy, Mark. I'm flattering you.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to add one more thing I did also. Typical McDonald's franchise or pizza will give their workers maybe one shirt or two shirts and aprons. I gave my full-time employees 4 sets. I also installed washer and dryers in the back of each of my units, provided the laundry soap, and allowed them to come in and wash their uniforms and aprons so that my employees always had a fresh, clean uniform, and that was on my dime. So I'm telling you, that formula works. You're going to reduce your turnover that way.
Mark, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And as Stephen Greenhouse suggests, if that's the high road strategy, there's another road that other people take. More about that after we come back from a short break. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. We're talking about part-time America. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan. We're talking about the recent transformation in retail and hospitality toward part-time workers, a transformation that Stephen Greenhouse explains that's being propelled by technology. More about that in a few minutes when we talk about one computer program that schedules workers based on store traffic, time of year, even the temperature outside. If you work part-time, call and tell us what don't we know about your situation. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Stephen Greenhouse is our guest. His piece, A Part-Time Life as Hours Shrink and Shift, ran last month in the Times. There's a link to it at our website. He's also the author of the book, The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. And just speaking about that last caller, we have this email from Dan in Albion, Iowa. Another tactic seems to be very popular in the Chicago area. Hire only through temp agencies where workers receive no benefits for at least 90 days. However, on day 89, the worker is told not to return to work. Often they can reapply for the same job after a week and may be rehired on the spot again with no benefits. I am myself grossly underemployed in Iowa. I fear because I'm 60 years old. It doesn't matter that I have lots of skills and energy to do the job. The ageism keeps me out of the full-time workforce. If that earlier caller, the former McDonald's and Pizza Hut franchiser, is the high road, maybe that's the low road.
Yes, I was saying before the break, Neil, that you know there are high road employers like Mark who treat their workers well, who give them lots of hours, who make them feel good about their job and themselves, and they're very loyal and they work very hard. Then there's another group of employers that many economists call low road employers. And they'll just give them 15, 12, 18 hours a week. They might not give benefits. And there's huge turnover with these workers. Their schedules often change week to week. And that makes it really hellish if you have, college, or if you have to arrange childcare, or if you have to take care of an aging parent. I interviewed this terrific professor for my story at MIT, Zeynep Tan, and she argues that these so-called low-road employers that employ all these people for 15, 18, 12 hours, she insists that it's silly of them. She says there's too much turnover. Your workers don't work as hard. You don't have as much loyalty from them. And she tells retailers you'd be much better off to hire a much higher percentage of full-time workers. Now, what Dan just said about this, it sounds almost as if employers are gaming the system. They say, you know, we're hiring you from a temp agency. After 90 days, we'll make you a full-time regular worker. Yet, boom, after 89 days, you're laid off. You know, employers are, you know, it's perfectly legal. One might not say one might say it's not usually ethical. You know, if you have a good worker who does a great job for 89 days, you know, should you lay them off just so you could start with another temp and not provide them with benefits? And I'm sure employers will say, I'm playing by the rules. I have up to 90 days to keep them. I'm in a very competitive business. I need to keep my costs down. Other employers, my competitors, are doing the same thing. So I think what many employers say is perfectly cool and kosher. A lot of employees, like in Dan's position, will say, I'm really getting the short end of the stick.
And it's interesting. Part of the reason you cite, obviously, the bad times we've been having these past several years, but also the competition, and you point particularly to Walmart.
Well, Walmart is the 800-pound or, you know, 200, 300, $400 billion-a-year gorilla. You know, it is by far the nation's, by far the world's largest retailer. And in researching my story, Neil, I interviewed a retail analyst who said that it was really with the huge expansion of Walmart in the 1990s with its low-cost, you know, fiercely competitive brand and attitude that many employers said, we have to do everything we possibly can to reduce our costs to remain competitive with Walmart. And one practice they really followed is hiring more and more part-time workers because it enables them to generally reduce their wages per hour, the benefits per hour, and it gives them more flexibility as well.
So instead of having one or two full-time people at the checkout line at the drugstore, for example, you'd have one part-time worker helping people self-check out at the drugstore.
Yes. Something I wasn't able to work into my story for space, I'd interviewed the manager of a Target store, and he said, you know, imagine if you have 10 cash registers up front and you have 12 full-time workers to work the daytime shift. And he says, if three of those full-time workers call in sick one day, then you're in deep trouble. He says, but if you have 20 part-time workers to work those 10 registers and three call in sick, well, you have 17 others to try to call in. So I think a lot of store managers feel it's better for them. They look better to their employer. They're not going to have, they'll always have enough workers on hand to plug in holes if they have a huge number of part-time workers to draw from. And again, you know, those part-time workers often say, I really need to work full-time. It's really hard for me to raise my family. You know, a lot of workers nowadays, of course, are single mothers, and it's really, really, you know, difficult for a single parent to try to raise a kid or two on, you know, 20 hours of work a week times $10 an hour, which is, you know, $200 a week or just $10,000 a year. And what's happening often is the taxpayer ends up supporting these jobs in ways, you know, through food stamps, through welfare, through Medicaid. And the employers say, we're just doing what the law allows us. We're trying our darndest to remain competitive against Walmart, Target, other low-cost companies. And, you know, they'll say if the employers, we offer good jobs, and they'll say if the employers don't like it, they can go across the street if they want.
Let's go next to Nick. And Nick's on the line with us from La Crosse in Wisconsin.
Hi.
Hi, Nick.
So I'm a full-time student, biology major, and a part-time manager at Taco Bell. And my comment was that, well, Taco Bell likes to hire younger people, mainly because they're part-time. And those part-time workers fill a lot of the positions that, you know, when productivity is high, noon and dinner, the lunch and dinner rush are going. And it works out well for us and the employees.
So you think it's working out for a lot of people?
I think it's working out for at least my store, yes.
And again, most of those are younger people.
Yeah. And, you know, those younger people who start off as part-time employees, if they prove themselves to be valuable to the company, they quickly turn into full-time workers and then turn into managers, which is what happened to me after just a year.
So this is the way to go, at least in your company.
Well, You can't say that, you know. There's differences. You should probably try and focus on hiring part-time workers who can work only part-time and hire full-time workers that can only work full-time.
All right.
I think that would be a good solution.
Nick, thanks very much for the call.
Yep.
I think what Nick says is true, Neil. You know, there are a lot of employers who have, you know, lunchtime surges and dinner surges, and they just want workers to work 3-4 hours. And there are a lot of, you know, high school students or college students who need extra spending money, and they're happy to work, you know, 4 hours a day, 3-4 days a week. And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, there are a lot of unemployed people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who might like those jobs, especially if they offered more hours. But, you know, many of these employers really don't consider anyone but high school or college kids. I think someone like Mark, you know, who was the McDonald's franchisee, would say he'd often be enthusiastic about hiring a good 30, 40-year-old who would be willing to work full-time and be dedicated to him rather than a bunch of, you know, high school kids or college kids who you just plug in for 3 hours here and there.
As we mentioned, part of what's driving this trend is powerful new software that helps companies streamline their staff scheduling. Kronos is one company that specializes in these sorts of workforce management technologies. Their CEO, Aaron Ain, joins us now by phone from Chelmsford, Massachusetts, I should say. NPR is among the many companies that uses Kronos products. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And what kind of software are we talking about? I guess people used to do this on, Excel spreadsheets.
Exactly. So what the software does is it takes into account things like skills, cost, availability, preference, seniority, and uses a form of artificial intelligence to put the right person, the employee, in the right place at the right time.
And this does it more or less automatically? A manager who might have to work half an hour, 2 hours to do this properly, this does it much quicker.
Yeah, typically what would happen, depending on the size of a store, it might take 2 hours to as much as 8 hours a week for a manager to do the schedule manually. Now it can be done in a matter of minutes, and it produces a more effective schedule.
And more effective quarter hour by quarter hour.
Some do it quarter hour by quarter hour, some half hour by half hour, hour by hour. It depends on how the particular user of the product chooses to set up the system.
What are the variables they can plug into this?
They plug in things, as I said. You can take into account the skill of the person. You want to make sure you have, you know, someone working in the shoe department who knows shoes. You want to plug in availability. You don't want to schedule someone when the employee told you, I can't work that time. I have to pick up my child from daycare, or I am a student, I have class. You can plug in what their preferences are. In some cases where there's collective bargaining agreements or just company rules, you can plug in their the seniority, where there might be a preference around that.
There was interesting, Steve Grieshaus in his story had one, I think it was a Jamba Juice outlet that was plugging in the temperature. When it gets hotter, people buy more juice.
Yeah, it's very typical. So they'll actually take into account using the software to say all 52 weeks, and they'll look back for the previous 5 years, and they'll say what the demand was on the Friday before Memorial Day at a grocery store. And you want to make sure in that really high volume time you have the right number of employees there, so the customer experience is favorable and they'll want to come back and continue to shop at your particular location.
And similarly, if there's a 3 p.m. slump just about every day, you don't want to have too many people you're paying.
That's right. You move away from a model which I call, instead of a just-in-case scheduling method where you're just putting more than you need just in case you have a certain volume, it's really more focused on a more exact process to make sure you have the right people in the right place at the right time.
So I guess we're all accustomed to the idea that, oh, places used to hire extra workers part-time for the Christmas rush, or people that worked in the mini golf industry for summertime, obvious things like that. Now you're thinking about Tuesdays at 11:15.
That's right. Well, the rush still happens around the holiday time. Customers, companies that use our product will go increase their volume of staff 20 to 50% around the holidays. It's just how you schedule those, because the volume goes up during that period.
And Steve Grieshaus, as you said in your story, these kinds of streamlining operations can make a huge difference.
Well, they can. So I interviewed Aaron Ain for my story. He was very, very helpful. He knows this stuff amazingly well. I'm very impressed with Kronos' software. You know, I interviewed one client of Kronos Jamba Juice who said that, you know, once they started using this, you know, highly sophisticated software, it enabled them to reduce their labor costs by 4 or 5%. They'd see, for instance, that, you know, take a Starbucks or a Jamba Juice, they might see that, you know, there's a drop-off in business between 2:15 and 2:30. So instead of keeping employees to 2:30, they might, you know, cut their shift 15 minutes earlier, and that way they could save, you know, a significant bit on labor costs if you multiply that, you know, times 1 week, times a whole year, times, you know, thousands of employees. And as Aaron was saying, you know, it used to take some managers 2, 4, 6, 8 hours, you know, over their Excel spreadsheets, giving themselves huge headaches, getting brain teasers, figuring out how to schedule their 50 employees. Now with this sophisticated software, they can do it in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or half an hour. And that saves lots of headaches, and it saves lots of money and time for the companies.
Is there somewhere else to go with this, Aaron Ain?
Well, I would say that the part that I would add to that, while there's the issues that we talked about around the employee, one of the big advantages of this system is it enhances the customer experience. I really believe that deeply. If you can have the right number of employees there at the right place at the right time, you're going to make sure the customers are taken care of more effectively. You move away from that just-in-case formula, and you move away from the formula where you had too few people there. And so it just tries to achieve what those managers were trying to achieve manually anyway, and it does it more effectively. Number two, I'll say quickly that I believe this benefits employees as well, because they tell their managers that they don't want to work a certain time or they're not available. And the managers used to try to remember all that in their head or little sticky notes in their little small office in their retailer. It all goes in the system. So the employee's not put in a situation where they're scheduled when they didn't want to be there. And then lastly, I heard you talking about the Walmart effect. You know, there's tremendous pressure on retailers to watch their costs today so they can deliver better service, have better products, and this tool helps those retailers benefit. So I really believe this is a software package that benefits the customers, benefits the employees, and benefits the company. Not perfect. Nothing's perfect, but I think it's better than it was.
I will fill out my timesheet from now on with greater respect.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you. Aaron Ain, CEO of Kronos. They create, among other things, software programs that help managers schedule employees, with us today from their office in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we get one more caller in. This is Shane, and Shane's on the line with us from Indianapolis.
Hi, hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Great. I'm a grad student, and currently I work three part-time jobs. And I really enjoy the idea that I can work 2 or 3 hours at one place and not be doing the same thing for a huge block of time. That's a huge benefit for me. I would like to speak to two points. One is the earlier your guest mentioned about low-road employers who don't offer benefits for part-time workers and how the motivation goes down. And I see that in some of my coworkers with just their general work ethic. They work generally much slower in the day, and these are people who are college freshmen who are working about 10 hours a week at this job. It's a music retailer. And so I do see the fact that because there's no benefits and there's not that much money per week coming in for them, there's not that much dedication to the work. On my second comment is with the scheduling system. A couple years ago, I was working for the Starbucks coffee company, and when they brought in the auto scheduler. And there was a lot of things about that were good and a lot of things were bad. Like your other guest mentioned, getting time off was just right. But it didn't take into account certain things like who works well with whom or who is distracted by whom at work. And the manager got into a habit of just pressing go with the software and not taking into account certain personal things, who's good at what time of day.
Yeah, software will never do everything, so, but I think we do understand that.
Sure. So there was certain things that actually started to not go so well with the auto scheduler, but there were some things that went really well with it.
All right, Shane.
So those are my two comments.
Thanks very much for the phone call. And Stephen Greenhouse said this is something, no matter what the state of the economy, I guess we should get used to.
Yes. You know, I think the underlying point in my story about the growing use of part-time workers is that, you know, there are big fundamental underlying changes in the economy. And one of that is that we're moving more and more away from, you know, the good full-time jobs of yesterday that help people support a family to these more contingent, precarious jobs. You know, part-time, your schedule shifting each week, it's less stable. And it's harder for people to support themselves, to raise a family with these new American jobs structured in such a way that they don't provide enough pay or enough stability.
Stephen Greenhouse of the New York Times with us from our bureau in New York. We thank him, as always, for his time. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.